You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Comey Report. Wherever you get your podcast, you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media, A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can always read my work on ESPN.com. So today I'm talking to former Washington Commanders tackle Charles Leno. Now I wanted to bring Charles on, not to go over a lot of things that happened in the past or anything like that. A lot of this was just looking forward. He has gone against a lot of the players that Washington has signed. Dante Fowler, Dorrance Armstrong, Cleveland Farrell, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu. He knows all these guys. He's gone against these guys. They studied for these guys. So I was curious what he felt Washington was getting in these players. I wanted to get an opinion of a player who actually faced them. I also found out his thoughts on guys like Jamin Davis, Ricky Stromberg, Sam Howell. And then, of course, some of the things that he felt were needed to change out at the with the Commanders and just what Dan Quinn can bring to help do that. He's very high on Dan Quinn. And this is what's funny is guys who have been cut by Quinn or whatever or pass over for jobs by Quinn still really respect the guy because of how he runs things. Anyway, you can put Leno in that category as well and just the things he's heard. But we go over all that. And then I also ask him about the situation that he and his wife had to endure during the middle of the season with the miscarriage and just how hard that is to play through. Because, listen, folks, at the end of the day, they're humans just like all of us. And you have things you have to deal with and you have to go play a game in front of many, many, many people. It can't be easy. So I talked to him about that. And so there you go. That's why I wanted to bring him on. And so I hope you enjoy it. Charles is very good. He has good insight onto these players at Washington signed. So, and oh, by the way, I will be at the owners meetings Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I'll be having content throughout the time that I'm down there. Get a chance to talk to Dan Quinn and Adam Peters for the first time since they signed all these free agents. So I'll do some reports each day from there and just fill you in on what's going on, what we learned, etc. So, and by the way, if you're wondering, why does he look so spiffy on the weekend? Because I'm going to a wedding, folks, in Richmond. Then I'm going to fly from Richmond to Orlando. So there you go. Anyway, that's it from me. Now, here's my conversation with former Washington Commanders tackle, Charles Leno.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, zip lining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. Well, Charles, it's good to see you again. And for people listening, Charles was good enough to retape this because we had some internet connections earlier. Been a really good sport to do this again. So I wanted to give him a special thanks and appreciation. But going back to what we were talking about earlier before we got interrupted. First of all, let's start with your health. How are you feeling? You had the hip surgery recently. How are you feeling?
Nah, I feel good. Got what I need to get taken care of. Doc had a lot to get in there and work on me. But he got it all out, got me all fixed up, and I'm feeling good. Still crutching around just a little bit, but can't wait to get off these bad boys. You see, they follow around me everywhere I go. I'm feeling real well.
How long was that hip bothering you?
I can't explain like how long. It's just been, chronic over time. It just adds up over time, playing the game for as long as I played it. My wife's my statistician. I don't know how many games I started, in a row and all that, but playing that many games, not missing time, it just adds up over time, wear and tear on the body. The body's a machine and I take care of it very well, but at some point it's going to give out on you. Everybody, you can't play this game forever.
No, you can't. And so speaking of which, what does this mean for your future with the NFL? Do you want to keep playing?
Yeah. So my future is in my hands now, depending on how I feel later on, I will go from there. Got to be the right situation. I want to be happy and motivated and where I want to go. Because that's what's most important to me. Because right now, being a dad, being a husband, a father, those things matter the most. And they always will. They always take precedence over football. So I'm going to do that. Like I mentioned earlier, I had a day yesterday. Me and my wife had a day yesterday making slime with our daughters. And it was fantastic. I loved every moment of it. So if I can keep having days like those, who knows if I play a football game. But the door is always open, and I just want to get healthy first. That's first and foremost.
And I want to get your scouting report on some guys, but was there any surprise at all when Washington released you?
No, not at all. They knew I was getting surgery. I kind of figured they would, because if I'm going to be out for some time, why would they keep me on the roster? I mean, that didn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have any hard feelings towards Washington or anything like that. I am A-okay. And I know Dan through some people, and I know he's a really, really good guy. And I know what type of culture he's going to bring and type of person he is. So hopefully they change things around there.
How big a change do you think he can make based on what you know?
Man, from what I hear from people I talk to around the league, because, at the end of the day, the NFL in the whole grand scheme is a large brand, but the league is really small. So you can pick up the phone and call somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody and get to wherever you need quickly. But from what I know, just a stand-up guy, he's about business, he's about relationships, he's about, developing relationships, a player's coach. And wants to, do it the right way. He's about the process. Those things matter, those things actually matter big time when you want to change your organization around. It's all about the process. You're not trying to win a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? That's not the goal. The goal is very small. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to compete first. You got to learn how to compete. Then you got to learn how to win. Then you got to win a Super Bowl. So he's going to do it the right way. And I got nothing but wish nothing but the best for him.
So among the things, they brought in a lot of new guys. You have faced some of these guys. So I want to run down through, and that was a big part of why I want to talk to you too, because you're scouting report on these players. So let's go through, because some of these guys you would face. First of all, Dorrance Armstrong, defensive end that they signed from Dallas.
Yeah. So, man, it's funny. I wish I had my notes. You know what I'm saying? My notes from the game. But I remember them because I played them so many times. But Dorrance Armstrong, you got, first and foremost, he's a really good athlete. He's really rugged in the run and pass, and versatile. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of the biggest things that he is. He is versatile. He's not going to line up just over left tackle. He's going to line up over right tackle, left guard, right guard. You know, I don't know, maybe line up over center. But he's going to line up all over the place because he's a really good athlete. And, you know, really tough. I think he's really tough. Like, just a guy that's going to keep coming after you no matter what. You got to, you know, every single time you buck up your chin strap and go out there, you got him lined up across you, you know it's going to be a battle. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to make sure that you are locked in with that.
Like some of the others, Armstrong, they're not these big defensive ends, right? So they're a little bit quicker and maybe a little bit quicker, twitchier than what Washington has had. Not that it's better or worse, but just different. But so how, you know, the quicker, twitchier stuff, what kind of problems does that pose for a line?
Yeah, so those things pose like it's the versatility aspect of it. When you have somebody that's quick twitch and things like that, they can line. They're not just going to line you up over the tackle. Just be like, all right, best blocking player or right tackle block you guys. You know, line up over the guard. See if he can move his feet. Let's spread him out. Let's run him over center. Let's see if he can move his feet. So that's the problem that they give you.
And so the other there's a problem too for the other side. The con of having those small defensive ends, what is the con?
Yeah, so you saw the con, I feel like, with the Green Bay Packers in the playoff game. You know, you can run the ball. You know, you have to have stout guys in the middle, but if the edges aren't being sealed and held off and guys in the middle are getting ran all the way to the sideline guys on the edge are getting ran all the way to the sideline, then that's going to be a big problem for your defense. You're going to leave big holes in there. And those guys in the middle can't run sideline to sideline. You know, that's not their job. You know what I'm saying? They're supposed to be taking on blocks. So that'll be the biggest issue moving forward with, like, you know, the small twitchier guys on the edge.
How much did they help by the Payne Allen combo inside? And now, and we'll get to Bobby Wagner, but you got Wagner, you got some new linebackers. How much can those smaller, quicker twitchier ends be helped by the two interior guys?
But yeah, those guys got paid for the reasons that they got paid. You know, you see it, the proof's in the pudding. Turn the tape on. You see what those guys do. You know, Payne, in my opinion, is more of a rugged run defender than John. John's more of the pass rush splash play. Payne's like more every down, but you know, John, don't get it twisted. John's good in the run game right as well. You know what I'm saying? So he just makes those run plays, those splash plays, by swimming the tackles or swimming the guard and, you know, getting those TFLs in the backfield. But, you know, it helps when you have those guys in the middle. It helps big time. So you can go out and sign guys like Armstrong and Fowler. I know he about to mention.
Right. This. I'm going to – Dante be the next one. What's your report on him?
Yep. Dante, I look at him as a, you know, just a seasoned vet, you know, third down rusher type. He will come in and spell on first and second down, but he mostly wants to come in on third down and just attack off the edge. Speed burner off the edge, put him over a tackle, you know, let him run up the field, cause some chaos on the other side. Hopefully the quarterback gets flush, boom, he gets a sack, or he may get a pressure if he has an isolated one-on-one. So, but he has a ton of experience in his defense, so he's going to help out guys. Same with Armstrong. So, you know, I think that's a really good combo, bringing those two guys in. Somebody can play the all downs first, and somebody can play all downs, and then somebody can play third now.
With Quinn in Dallas, they like to move that line around a lot of movement up front. What did you think about facing that defense? And I know they had a guy in Micah Parsons that very few people have, but they also like to move guys around and tap into that versatility. What did you think of facing those defenses there?
So it's tough, you know, talking about this defense because we don't know what it's going to be like.
Right.
Everything in Dallas was geared around 11. You know, like everything was. Like, you have to know where he is at all times. So it gave guys one-on-one matchups. You know, so I'm very eager to see how he's going to, you know, revamp this defense with completely new bodies, completely new people out there. But, you know, like, you know, I just feel like he's just really good at putting his guys in position to succeed, you know, no matter what, no matter where he's been, you know. So that's one thing I have to say about him.
With that movement, though, what does that do for an offensive line when you're facing that? Is it Does it add anything to your headaches, or is it more just like identify who you're, where you're going, and that's it?
Yeah. So you got to, so the first thing is identify who's the guys that we are blocking, you know, like five offensive linemen. If you got six guys up, we got to block five, no matter what. Running back has one. If it's five guys up, we got to block five, no matter what. You know, we got to get our guys. And then after that, once the games and the twisting starts to happen, you just have to be really good with your technique. You got to be able to pass off games with your hands and move your feet. So you got to protect the guy next to you. So if I'm, you know, left tackle and I got my left guard next to me, you know, last year thinking like Sadiq, you know, Chris Paul, I have to make sure that I keep him clean. So if a guy goes inside on me and he's about to go pick, you know, one of my guards, I got to make sure I use my hands to snap that guy so he does not get that pick. Because once he gets that pick, it is over. Like they're getting the pressure, they're getting the sack. Hopefully you got the quarterback to get the ball out. You know, you're just praying that they do. Because if they don't, then it's a recipe for disaster.
Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah, that's your first and second down guy.
Right.
That's the guy that you need on first and second down to stop the run, to be a big body out there on the edges, to hold the point of attack. So those stretch zone plays, you know, the mid zone, outside zone won't get washed all the way down. So now it's cutting back. He can hold the edge. It stops right there. Now it cuts back one gap sooner. So then your guys like John, your guys like Payne, Bobby Wagner, and Jamin Davis can make the play. You know, those you want those guys to make the play in the middle. You don't want it to get pushed all the way down and then cut up, because that's a recipe for disaster against the defense like that. We got smaller bodies.
What does Cleveland do well as a run defender? Why is he a good run defender? I know he's got talent. He was drafted fourth overall, but why? What makes him a good run defender?
Man, just extremely long arms, physical at the point of attack. That's what makes him really, really good run defender. I remember playing when he was on the Raiders. You know, it's only a few guys in the league that I feel like, you know, I got long arms. I can get my hands inside. I remember one play, he got his hands inside on me, and I'm like, oh, snap. Like, I could barely get my hands inside and reach him. So I know he got really long arms, and he does a really good job with an extension.
Bobby Wagner's coming over here, too. I know you would have faced him a few times over the years, including this past year. What do you think of him? What do you think he still has and can offer here?
Yeah, so what you're getting with Bobby, in my opinion, you're getting the brains. You're getting the brains of a defense. Somebody's going to put everyone in position, a leader in the locker room, and someone who's going to – is he going to be sideline to sideline like a Jamin with the speed and talent that Jamin has right now in his career? No. But he's going to recognize the offensive line tips. He's going to recognize the formation, and he's going to be like, all right, this play is coming. You know, he's going to recognize route concepts behind him. You know, crosser right here. I know somebody's coming back behind me. He's seen it all. So you're not gonna really fool him when it comes to that. And I think the biggest thing what he's gonna do is get guys in those spots where they need to be, get guys lined up. What I felt like last year was in the previous years, like Jamin just had too much on his plate. He was doing too much. He's an athlete. Let that guy be an athlete. Let him go make plays. Have somebody else tell him, hey, you got this. Go make the play. He can go do it because he's a freak. I'm telling you, that guy can. He can run. He can run with the best of them, man. Like, so if you have somebody like that, that can just, you know, be the manager, the field manager for the field general for the defense, you know, that would help out.
And you guys, I mean, you think that Jamin he improved each year he's been here, but can you tell when there's like somebody just thinking a little bit too much out there? And was that kind of the case with him?
Yeah, I feel like it. I mean, you can ask him, but that's just personally, like, that's what I feel. Right. I feel like he was doing things that are not fitting his skill set as well. You know, like he's a freak athlete. Make plays. You know, that's what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to be thinking, you know, like prime example. I think of somebody who's a freak athlete. I read the LT book last year. So that's somebody that comes in my mind. Like, he's a freak athlete. They're not going to let this guy think. They're going to blitz him. They're going to make him make plays. Go get the quarterback. Go do something. Like, don't think. Go make plays. And that's what you need out of him. And that's what I think. I think if they do that, he'll be really successful.
So then you also bring in Frankie Louvu, who was doing some of that in Carolina last year. I know you know him too. So what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think he's that guy that's, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be the 11, the Parsons role. You know, he's not going to be that, but he's going to be that role guy. Like, he is an extremely talented blitzer. I'm talking about very good off the edge, very good going over the guards, even the tackles. You know, like, he's just a really good – he has a knack for getting to the quarterback. He has a knack for, you know, just has those instincts, you know, that can make plays when it comes to the blitzing aspect. I don't remember much about him when it comes to just playing linebacker. I just remember watching this guy and like, yo, I got to block this guy. Like, he can cause problems if you don't get your hands on him.
And what is it that makes a linebacker a good blitzing linebacker? Because it's not just about seems like he has instincts and times things up well, but what makes him a good blitzing linebacker, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, those two things are absolutely the best things. Right. Like, instincts and timing are first off number one, but a move at the point of attack would be great. Mm. So if I got a guy blitzing off the edge and he's just like coming right to me and just, all right, thanks, man. It's a playoff, you know what I'm saying? I didn't waste a breath. But if you got a guy that jumps inside and jumps outside or dips his shoulder or speeds up one time and he stops him down, hops, you know, like, you just have to understand, like, where you're blitzing and where you're rushing. And then also knowing, you know, who has you. That's what makes you a really good blitzer. If I know, like, if I'm a blitzer and I have a running back, you have a different move prepared. Right. If you got an offensive lineman, you got a different move prepared. If you're over a guard, you have to have a different move prepared. So you have to know who's blocking you.
So the combo of he and Jamin with what they can offer, how does that look to you?
I don't know what they're going to do, but I know if it was me, if I was a betting man, I'm blitzing a lot. And I'm pressuring guys up a lot because you can utilize those guys. And I'm not saying you can blitz Jamin every time. Like, he's right. An athlete. You can put him on the backside as Will and just have him make backside plays. He'll be fine with that, you know? So that you have two really good linebackers who are young, who are athletic, and who are definitely capable of making plays.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And, you know, it's funny because watching Louisville and you talk about, like, different moves, you could see that with him. Like, the way he would approach guys and the way, I mean, I saw him, he would stun some guards because I think he would catch them and they catches them in their chest and he's knocking them off their feet a little bit. Yep. And it just, you know, is that a sinking the hips too? Is that, where does that power do you think come from that he can do that?
I think it starts off with what I said, is rushing with a plan. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing he does. He rushes with a plan. He knows who has him, who's blocking him. So once you understand that, it makes it easier. You're like, okay, I'm doing this if this guy's blocking me, or I'm doing this. You start off with a plan, you know, you got to have that. And, you know, just leverage, you know, he's a shorter guy. I don't think he's like too tall, but you know, he's like natural leverage, and that definitely helps.
How familiar are you with like Tyler Biadasz, Nick Allegretti?
Biadasz, I know, you know, you watch plays, you know, you watch games, you know, crossover games throughout the league. What Biadasz is going to give you, I feel like, is first and foremost, toughness to the offensive line. The guy plays extremely hard. He's going to be gritty, and he's going to help what I believe they're going to do is draft a quarterback. If they don't, then that's kind of crazy to just right. setting them jobs up for failure. But, you know, you want to have a guy that's, you know, a veteran who's going to understand how to, you know, help his young quarterback out. Right. So that's what you want. What
did you think of Stromberg?
I think Ricky Stromberg is a phenomenal center. I think he is. But this is the league.
Right.
When this coaching staff gets fired, you know, you're in limbo now. So the new people come in, they don't know what you have. They're going to, especially when you were hurt and didn't play.
Sure.
You know, so they're going to get the guys they feel comfortable with, you know. But I think they have a gem in Ricky Stromberg at center.
Why
is that? That's just what I believe. He can make every block. First thing I look at as an offensive lineman when it comes to center is how well are you with a reach block? He reaches guys great, like really, really good. And then you can just because I've seen it in training camp and he wasn't going against the ones and things like that, you can just tell off of the footwork, you know, and how fast he's moving, you know. So, and he's just a really smart guy. He understands the game. You know, I got a moment just thought of in my head when he was when he came in and when Sadiq went down against the New York Giants. He's all talking to me in a play, and I'm like trying to tell him where to go, and the ball's getting snapped, and he's laid off the ball. There's just a lot going on, but that's moments that you need to have. Like him having that experience will let him, you know, calm down a little bit when the real bullets are firing, you know, are flying. So I think he's going to have a really good career, whether that's here or somewhere else, whatever it is, he's going to be a really good center. That's just my personal opinion.
So they're going to draft a tackle too, or they need to find another tackle because they still don't have your replacement. Rookie left tackle with a rookie quarterback. What do you think?
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. When you're picking a quarterback at number two, he'll make it work, or he better make it work. You better learn quickly. That's both tackle and quarterback, you know?
Right.
You know, so that's my opinion. You better learn quickly. But then also, you two are coming in the league together, right? What better best friend would a quarterback have than a left tackle, you know what I'm saying, who just got in the league with you? You guys can grow up together and, you know, play 10, 15 years if you wanted to, you know? So it can be a really good thing. You just got to make sure that offensive coordinator-wise, you help the tackle if he's struggling. Like, that's one of some things I think, like, offensive coordinators forget. Like, when a guy's struggling, like, you're the game manager. You're calling the game. You feel that. You see that. If a guy's struggling, throw a tight end over there, throw a running back over there. Damn, throw a receiver over there. Give the man some help. Pull the full slide the line sometimes. Roll out, bootlegs, you know, screens. Help him out, you know. That's one thing that you have to do as an offensive coordinator.
And that's, yeah, and I don't go down that whole road at this point, but did you guys feel like that was done enough for you guys last year?
You know what I will say? Last year, it was a lot of growing, you know? I mean, you have a new offensive coordinator. You have a new, completely new, almost completely new offensive line. You have a new quarterback, like, and you're installing a new system, you know? Like, that's tough. So that's the first thing I'm going to say. But I also felt like over the course of the year, you can see what we do well and you don't go to that and you continue to just run the plays that you want to run. You know, I just feel like that's malpractice. You have to understand, like, this is what we're good at. We have to run this and do this until, you know, you're blue in the face, because at the end of the day, like, this is what we're good at. Don't try to force feed things. And, you know, that's when things can go bad and turn wrong.
B-Rob, how good do you think he can be?
Man, the guy's really talented. He actually can catch. His first year, I didn't think he can catch, to be honest with you. But no, he can catch really well. And, you know, just a real power back, but not power. He has really good instinctive ability to, like, read the run. If he has to bounce something, he bounces it well. And he's learning. Like, you know, he always used to come to me and be like, yo, Luno, what do you see on this? Or I'm telling him, like, hey, this is what we're going to do. You should check this out. And he always appreciated that, because he's like, man, I feel like I learned from you as much from y'all than I do my coaching. I'm like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to come talk to us and learn from the offensive line so you can see what we see, so we all on the same page, you know. It's easy for a coach to tell you and say, like, oh, they're going to be on the same page. But if you're not hearing from your guys, then you're just, you know, running in the darkness.
And was that, like, when you look at how the team was constructed, and they're kind of focused on bringing a lot of veterans in. And I know that you've served in some of that role. Other guys have too. How did you feel like there was any sort of a leadership void at all here, or was it just things just spiraled?
Yeah. I mean, talking about this last past year, right?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I can say I wasn't the best leader. I mean, I went through some things in the middle of the season you know of, and I was, you know, really reserved after that. I was really, you know, hardened. So I can say for myself, I wasn't the best leader. I know for a fact about that. But what, you know, leaders create leaders.
Right.
That's one thing I learned throughout this league. So you can say what you want to say. It always going to start from the top. Yeah, players are supposed to lead, but if you don't get that leadership and that trust from the top, then why, you know, there's no why, you know, from coming from a player standpoint, that's my opinion.
Sam Howell gets traded. I know you guys seem to really like playing with him last year. What were your thoughts on just how it went for him and then him now getting traded?
Yeah. And, you know, just shoot. I mean, what he was the, I mean, you can look at the positives. I can talk about the negatives and all that and bring up.
Oh no, just anything.
I can talk about all this stuff, but I'm going to talk about the positives here. Was he the first Washington quarterback to start 16 games in like how many years, right?
Since Kirk.
Throw for 4,000 yards, from like, you know what I'm saying? Like stuff like that, right? That's positive, you know? So what the Seattle Seahawks have is a really good insurance policy if anything goes bad. I know that for a fact. What I love about him, and I always say this, the dude is just sometimes he's too calm. I'm kidding you not. Sometimes he's just too cool. Like, you want that. You know, I wanted him more to speak up and have more sense of urge because everybody's looking at it too. So that's where the leadership comes from. It always comes from the quarterback, no matter what. You can have guys on defense, offense, all the special teams, whatever. If it's not the quarterback speaking, it's really tough for a team to, you know, have leadership. So that's first and foremost I'm going to say. But I understand he was young and, you know, and he's just now getting into the role. But I don't know, man. He was just too cool. You know, just too cool for no situation was too big. The guy was just always like, you know, he get hit, he get himself right back up, and he'd be like, hey, my bad. That's on me, boys. Let's get the next one. All right, cool. I appreciate that. That's ownership. You know, that's leadership right there. That's the leadership I seen, you know, from him. So, yeah, I mean, is it unfortunate for him? No, because I look at it like this. Geno, you know, he got traded or got picked up by the Seattle Seahawks and turned his career into something, right? So you never know where your opportunity is going to be.
Right.
So I always tell my guys this in the offensive line room, and I tell people this all the time. You're auditioning for 31 other teams. Yes, you want to make this team, but you're auditioning for 31 other teams always. So put good tape out there.
He's a tough kid.
Yes, he is.
He's very tough. And I thought he was – you know, the kid's got a future in this league.
Yeah.
How hard is it for a rookie to come in? You talk about like a young quarterback to do that. How hard is it for a rookie quarterback to come in and not just Sam, but what they're going to draft here to come in and do that, to lead?
You got to find your way. So don't try too hard. You know what I'm saying? Don't try to act like I'm the guy and all that type of stuff. So that's going to turn people off. But really what you got to do is just be yourself. The more you be yourself, guys gonna you're gonna be a high draft pick anyway. People gonna like you and want you to succeed. You know what I'm saying? So you don't stress too much about it. But you know, just be yourself. And when you have to speak up, you just have to know your moments. Be aware of those situations. Like when you have to speak up, if something's not right, speak up. Say it. You're the number two overall pick. People are gonna listen and people are gonna respond. You're valuable. So. Almost invaluable, right, at that moment when you get drafted. So know that and use that to your advantage.
What needed to change most here, do you think?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know, man. It's just when I think of a football team, you know, like my biggest thing I learned was something called synergy. And that's synced energy. That's Coach Chris Peterson, one of my favorite coaches at Boise State. He put up a graph and it was arrows going all which way, you know, and he's like, that's just energy. You know, the energy is great. You can have great energy, but if it's not synchronized, if it's not going in the same direction, if we all are not going in the same direction, what are we doing with this? I feel like the synergy was bad. And that's from the very top all the way to the very bottom, man. I didn't feel like it was any direction. There was no vision. There was no, like, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it every single week. And, you know, like, there's no, like, how to describe it. There's no, there's no vision. There's no nothing like, you know what I'm saying, a mission statement. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we are, and this is who we are. This is what we are. And then, you know, like, you didn't have nothing to fall back on. It was just like, all right, every week's different. Of course, every week's different game plan wise, but every week shouldn't be different, like, with the message, you know?
Can you think Quinn can be that guy to turn it around for these guys?
From what I, like I said from earlier, what I know about him, I think so. I've only heard really, really, really positive things about him from, and that's coaches that coach with him, that's players, that's people outside of ball. Like, I just heard really good things. And like I said, I'm a fan of his. Mm-hmm. You know, I really was. Like, even when he was in Atlanta, I was rooting for him all the time. So I wish nothing but the best for him and his career, you know, to get Washington back on track and get Washington going.
Have you watched, do you watch college football at all? Have you watched any of these quarterbacks? Are you familiar with any of them?
Yeah, I watch it. But I'm not going to say I'm, you know,
okay,
on the tape and all that type of stuff, but I watch them. I have, like, opinions on them, you know, the top three, at least, you
yeah.
know,
Caleb's going to go first. So we'll take him off the table. You got Drake May and Jaden Daniels. What do you think?
I just think Jaden is this year's C.J. Stroud. That's the easiest way to put it. You know, I think he's a little, you know, little lanky, a little thin, but he played in the SEC. He took massive hits. He got up every time and won the Heisman. That speaks a lot, right? So don't miss that opportunity if I'm Washington and pass on that. But Drake, I think he is, you know, he can move in the pocket and all that, but he's going to be the guy that sit in the pocket and sling it all over the yard. You know, I looked at him as, you know, this is just what I see. This is kind of like what I get out of him. It's kind of I don't know what people's comparison is, but my comparison is more so of a Will Levis guy that came out from Kentucky. I looked at him like that. Really good, strong arm, you know, can move, like, just that guy. I look at him as that. You know, I don't know what his knock was. You know, I think Will Levis is a solid player, but, you know, I'm not into knocking players. You know, I played the game, so I know how hard this stuff is. But I'm never going to knock players. So I just think he's on that level, you know.
Do you, as a lineman, you had, like, Sam would want to run a little bit. We know that. And we know that it took a little bit of time to get used to, get rid of the ball on time and all that, and it improved. But do you like blocking for a guy who is able to run and extend like that?
You know that. Let's go with pros and cons. All right. Pros is, I'm blocking a guy, I get beat. Oh, damn. It's over. He gets out of it, makes a touchdown play. Yay. Everybody's happy. Con is, I'm doing my job. I'm blocking. He rolls out somewhere. He just runs into myself. I just throw my hands up. I get, you know, that's the pros and cons. That's what you're going to get when it comes to a scrambling, like, improvising quarterback. That's what you're going to get. So there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's what do you say? Cost of doing business when you get a guy like that.
Last thing I want to ask, and you brought this up too, about some of the tough stuff during the middle of the season. How hard, you don't have to get into a whole thing with that, but you have to, you know, people see the helmet, people see the pad and the jerseys, right? You're a human. You're just like everybody else. How hard is it to go through something like that while still trying to perform in a job where you have, you know, many, many, many people watching you, and you want to perform at a certain level? How hard was that to go through, and how do you not let it affect what you do?
Yeah, it was, looking back, it was extremely hard. But in the moment, I just was so compartmentalized, you know, and that's a tough thing to do in that situation. I feel like, you know, personally, you know, when that happened, I wasn't the best husband and father I should have been, you know, like, I just feel like I wasn't the best person I could have been in that moment, because I feel like I'm so focused on, you know, the job and getting this over and getting through the season and making sure that I'm showing up every week. I wasn't able to heal throughout that season. You know, I kind of blocked everything off. So after the end of the year, you know, having that moment and having that grieving moment and healing moment to myself, I realized like, yeah, man, I could have been better always. I always realized like I could be better, but you don't know that when you're going through it, you know. Kind of, it's like one of those things where you're going through life and you may not be realizing that you're going through a tough time until the tough time is over. And you're like, wait, hold up. Like, right. Damn, I can't believe I just got through that. How did I get through that? You know? So sometimes you're unaware when things like grief happen. So that's one thing I will say that, you know, I just tried to make the main thing and just focus on ball. I did that to the best of my ability. So. Do I have any regrets? No, I don't have any regrets. You know, things happen and, you know, I move forward with my life. But, you know, I just want to say, like, you know, to my wife, maybe I'm sorry. You know that. We already talked about that.
Yeah. Well, and she, how is everybody doing now?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're taking it day by day. You know, actually, we just so after the Thanksgiving game against the Cowboys. I live in Dallas. We came back, we stayed here, and we actually was able to bury her here in Dallas. So coach let me have that moment, and that helped a lot. Did it help fully? No, like I said, but it helped a lot, and we just went to go pick out the plaque and the stone and all that stuff. So the healing is in progress always, you know. It's going to be a continuous thing.
It's going to be a while to heal with that. So, yep. And you guys, do you still have your foundation?
Yep. Beyond the Entertainer, our nonprofit. You can go beyondentertainer.org or BTE72, and that's on Twitter, or Beyond the Entertainer 72 on Instagram. Please, we still want to be doing some things, regardless if I'm in a helmet or shoulder pads. I don't care about that. That was just a platform to help me spread what we want to do. So we're still going to be in the community involved. So Lentil Claws, that's our big initiative back down in December. So we would still love nominations for that. But we have a lot of stuff coming up when I'm back and able to get moving. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's kind of tough doing stuff right now. We kind of just, you know, let's wait till I get healthy. That's kind of what we've been doing.
There you go. Charles, man, I really, really appreciate your time. This has been great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. No problem. Thank you very much.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to Charles for joining me, and thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'll be back on Monday with another episode. Talk to you next time.